The epistle for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Ephesians chapter 6. Brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his power. Put you on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the deceits of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day and to stand in all things perfect. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about you with truth and having on the breastplate of justice and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and all things taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to distinguish all the fiery darts of the most wicked one, and take unto you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 28. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to take the account, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. And as he had not wherewith to pay it, his Lord commanded that he should be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. But that servant, falling down, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And the Lord of that servant, being moved with pity, let him go and forgave him the debt. But when that servant was gone out, he found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pence, and laying hold of him, he throttled him, saying, "Pay what thou owest." And his fellow servant, falling down, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he paid the debt. Now his fellow servants, seeing what was done, were very much grieved, and they came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord called him and said to him, "Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou hast besoughtest me. Shouldest now thou have had compassion also on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee?" And his lord, being angry, delivered him to the torturers until he paid all the debt. So also shall my heavenly Father do to you if you forgive not every one of his brethren from your hearts. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, this month of November, as we just start this, it's always good to reflect upon the poor souls in purgatory, to remember these poor souls in our prayers, our sacrifices, our masses. And as I mentioned to you, the first 8 days that you can gain a plenary indulgence specifically for them, and in just simply by visiting a cemetery, praying prayers, praying for the intentions of the Sovereign Pontiff, and obviously for our own soul, taking care of it by going to confession 8 days before or after, receiving Holy Communion, and then not being attached to sin, whether mortal sin, obviously, but then also venial sin, not being attached to that. And so it's good for us just to also to try to consider during this time, and obviously as members of the Church Militant, what we need to try to do in order to try to take care of the church suffering. The duty that we have as members of the Church Militant, praying for them, sacrificing for them, but then also for ourselves just to consider his mercy, but then also God's justice. Because it's important for us to remember both of these, especially in this time period of the poor souls. And we'll have the three masses tomorrow. I tried to place it in such a way that as many people could attend the masses. I mean, obviously, maybe some souls will even try to attend all three. But from that, when we consider these masses and we consider the balance that the church gives between the mercy and then the justice of Almighty God, it is something for us to consider for our own souls too. Because one, we think about the pardon of God, the mercy of Almighty God and what he grants to us. I mean, one, we think about a plenary indulgence that we're trying to gain for these poor souls. But for our own souls, when we think about trying to gain a plenary indulgence, it would mean if we gain it properly that all the temporal punishment that is due to our sins is completely wiped out. And so at that point, if we were to die, that we would gain heaven, obviously, because we would have nothing that would keep us and restrict us by having to go to purgatory. And so that's a great grace for us to realize. It's a great grace for us to consider how important that the church places on the plenary indulgences. And there's various times that we can gain those, but these first 8 days we can only gain them for the poor souls in purgatory. But to think about how we could try to gain a plenary indulgence for these poor souls, and how thankful that they would be to a soul that would go and take the trouble in doing so, that is maybe all that they needed in order to get to heaven. And that's the one thing that we don't realize, we will never really probably can be able to consider until on Judgment Day. What souls we have affected positively, what souls we have affected negatively. And so obviously the positive that we can have for souls is, yes, helping a soul get to heaven. God willing, it'll also be through our good example here on earth, but through our prayers, our sacrifices, but then also the indulgences that we can gain of how we can affect one soul here on earth. And that is something that, as I say, we probably will never know until heaven, until we see the what we have done to them, whether a good or whether the negative. And so it's important for us, especially in this time period of the poor souls, of seeing what we can try to do to help them positively. Because God forbid we think about maybe many souls that we may have put to purgatory because of our example, because of the sins that we have committed with them. But now is the time for us to try to do something to try to help them. Going out of our way to make a visit to the cemetery, having masses offered for the poor souls, or at the very least, remembering them at the masses at the altar, the sacrifices that we can offer each day, especially during this month, small little things that we can offer for them, of trying to make a difference for these poor souls. But as I say, when we look at the mercy of Almighty God, the remitting of the punishment due to their sins, that is the trust that we have in God's mercy. That is the trust that we have in Almighty God that, yes, He will grant this mercy to their souls. And that is where, for a lot of it, it depends specifically upon the mercy of Almighty God. How is each soul affected by the sacrifices that I make, the masses that I have offered for them, the visits to the cemetery? Because when we look at and we think about, one mass has an infinite value. One mass offered for the poorest souls should clear purgatory forever. But it's because of their dispositions on earth, it is also because of what value that they placed upon the mass itself. So therefore, that maybe for them, a mass being offered for the repose of their soul doesn't have the same efficacy that it would have for another soul. Because of how they treated or how did they attend their masses during their lives. Because I say, you would think that the Mass in and of itself has an infinite value. So why wouldn't it clear purgatory? Well, it's because it depends on the dispositions of the souls in purgatory. How does it affect them? Yes, one Mass offered for one soul that maybe thought of the Mass of having that infinite value, it could clear them out of purgatory. But for other souls, yes, they may have to spend many years there. And that is because of their dispositions that they had on earth. And so that's where it's important for us to change our ways here on earth, if that's the case. Because then will we not have the same, in a sense, efficacy of the prayers, the sacrifices, the masses that are offered for us after we die? That's why many people will say that a mass offered for someone that is still living has much more efficacy for their soul than after they have passed away, because it can change them. It can affect them. It can affect the way that they are. And again, that depends on the mercy of Almighty God. And so that's where we depend upon this mercy of God and looking at these poor souls, that God would remit some of the suffering that is due to their soul, because of our prayers, our good works, the masses that we have offered for them. That is based upon the mercy of Almighty God. But then we also have to obviously look at God's justice. In some ways, it is a true mystery to us, because we know that a sin against Almighty God carries an infinite weight. That is why our Lord Jesus Christ had to die on the cross for all of us. Or at least that's why he had to come into this world in order to redeem us. He could have chosen any means, but the means that God the Father had chosen was that he would die on the cross. But as something that's important for us to understand, that each sin committed against God carries an infinite weight. And so therefore, we would never be able on our own to be able to repair for that. But God places certain things, certain acts that we can do, gaining a plenary indulgence, that yes, it can completely wipe out all of the punishment that is due to our sins. And as I say, what a great grace that is, that God would be willing to do that. Even though in his justice, in his true justice, it is not served properly, but God equates that and says, fine, I will take this and I will wipe everything out. But we think about God's justice and the punishment that is necessary for that, the severity to that, the seriousness of that we will have to hold a strict account of everything that we do, every thought that we have, every word that we say, every action that we do, all of those things we will have to have a strict account on our judgment day. And so then it's up to us to try to make up for that. Even the smallest acts, the smallest thoughts that are contrary to the law of God, we will have to render an account for. And so therefore, we must make amends for those things here on earth. Or we will have to do that in the next life. I mean, obviously, if we die in the state of grace, then we will have to spend our time in purgatory. I mean, it's a moot point, obviously. We don't die in the state of grace. But if we die in the state of grace, yes, we will have to make up for that. And so that is where then when we consider purgatory and the sufferings in purgatory, that is why many of the spiritual authors will say that the sufferings in purgatory are the same nature, the same intensity as hell. The only difference between them is the duration. In purgatory, there is finally an end to them. But for hell, obviously, they will go on for all eternity. But it is the same intensity, it is the same nature of suffering that we have. And so that is something that we have to try to consider and try to avoid, obviously, in this life. We should never strive for purgatory. We should always be striving for heaven. Because if we strive for purgatory, we'll most likely end up somewhere lower. And that's what we must try to see and we must try to understand in this life. We must try to root out the sins that we have. We must try to root out the weaknesses that we have, the faults that we have, in order to try to bypass purgatory. I mean, that's where you have St. Augustine saying, I would much rather spend my purgatory here on earth than after it. He understood the necessity of suffering in this life. He understood why we would have to suffer. And so it's important for us to consider the poor souls in purgatory who are suffering right now. I mean, that is why a lot of people have the practice of when they take holy water, they drop some for the poor souls. It's as a relief for them. It is a sacramental. And so then you're asking for this relief to be given to the poor souls. So it's important for us to understand the different things that we can try to do on a daily basis. The different things that we can try to offer up for the poor souls, especially in this month of November, but let us carry it beyond this month of November. Let it not be just in the month of November that we pray for the poor souls and that's it. Let us try to take something away from this devotion in this month to help us every day of our life doing something for the poor souls, offering some sacrifice for them. And that's where you see in the life of the saints, Many of the saints were affected by the sufferings in purgatory. They were affected by it in terms of whether it was a loved one, whether they could see the pain that it caused Almighty God. And so their willingness to try to take on some of these pains. You think of St. Catherine of Siena, who she saved her father from suffering purgatory by taking it on during her life. I mean, obviously it's a grace from Almighty God, but she suffered that through her life so her father wouldn't have to at the end of his life. Or as St. Catherine of Genoa, who wrote a treatise on purgatory and the sufferings of purgatory. It's a very good book. It explains a lot for us to understand what the sufferings are, what's the nature of the sufferings, why we have the sufferings, why is it necessary that the souls must go through that. I think that was the first time that I had read that she had written about the souls of when they go up for their judgment, they hurl themselves down to purgatory because they realize they are unworthy to see Almighty God. They know that they must be cleansed, that they have things that must be cleansed, and so they hurl themselves away from God to go to purgatory. I mean, it struck me as something as you can see then the necessity of being purified from their sins. So as I say through these things, it gives us a lot to think about during this month of November. To pray for the poor souls, to ask for their help, obviously, once that they are out of purgatory, they will become intercessors for us. But I encourage you to go to visit the cemetery. Try to go every day. Try to pray for the poor souls that are there. They can be friends, family, parishioners. But then to pray for the poor souls and to ask for God's mercy upon them. Because they will remember all of those that prayed for them. When they get to heaven, they will remember those that prayed for them, that sacrificed for them, that had masses offered for them. They will intercede for all of us. And so that is why the devotion to the poor souls is a very meritorious devotion. Not that we should do things that we can benefit always from, but it is a good practice because you're helping them, but then you're also helping your own soul. So as I say, let us take this month of November to truly pray for the poor souls and to try to really work for, to get them out of purgatory. Because by doing so, they will remember their intercessors. And by doing that, we will have friends in heaven that will be praying and sacrificing for us. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.